From restaurant openings and discounts on bars and hotels to beauty and fashion offers, Sherlock's partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. And this month, we're offering new annual sign-ups a free Kate Somerville exfoliating treatment worth £72. Or you can trial VIP and get 2 months free access using the code VIPX2 at checkout. For more information, visit sherlocksvip.com.
Welcome to the Sherlock's Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Heather Steele, Laura Black and Becky Hull. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Well, it's a very wet and rainy Monday morning, but I don't care because this is my last day here.
Why is that, Charlotte?
Yeah, I'm getting married, yes.
Do you know what I'm most envious about is that you're going to the sunshine.
I know, me too. Yeah. That's the thing I care about the most, more than anything.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right now.
So grim out there.
Just a bit of sunshine.
Imagine if you were getting married in the UK, say this weekend. It'd be awful.
Miserable.
But this is the thing about June, it's so unpredictable. Like, yeah. I just feel like it's such a dodgy month to get married in the UK. Like,
actually, you got married this weekend.
We will share the same wedding anniversary.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, it drizzled, but it wasn't torrential.
Yeah.
Safer option, go to Mallorca.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And it's looking good. So, Nate, how was everybody's weekend?
Really nice, actually. Mine was quite relaxed, but Friday I went out, we had our first summer hours, so it was really nice to go home and then just relax a bit before going out. And then went out in Brighton, and yeah, other than that, quite relaxed, didn't do much, but I feel very revitalized today for it.
Good.
Really nice. You're bringing a bit of energy, Becky.
Yeah. What's everybody been watching recently?
I did speak about it last week, but I'm just going to briefly give another shout out to Chernobyl because I've watched it all and it's honestly one of the best things I've ever watched, and I think everybody should watch it.
Why?
It's only 5 episodes long, but it's just such an important event that happened, and this series really drives home how preventable it was. And
can I just ask, so I really wanted to start this a few days ago. How do I watch it?
So I watch it on Now TV, so it's a similar thing.
So if I don't have Now TV, I can't watch.
Yeah.
No, it's on Sky.
I've got Sky. Yeah.
Well, you can watch it.
What is it? Sky Atlantic?
Yes.
It's on as a box set as well.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So if you've got normal good TV, you can watch it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can watch it on that, and I honestly think you should. I think everyone should. The final episode's amazing, and I've seen people talking about it. They somehow managed to explain nuclear science in a very basic, understandable way, in a way that you'd never imagine you'd be able to understand. But it's also so gripping, and it's so upsetting, and it's very dramatic, and obviously it was all true, but you really get to the human stories of what happened to various different people, whether it was the mothers who got pregnant during the time of the disaster and had subsequent issues, or, yeah, the firefighters who went in straight away to try and stem the damage, to, you know, the politicians who were on the one hand being asked to cover it up on a global scale, but also were having to make these decisions that impacted everyone's lives.
Surely there's something more than just the story that makes it really amazing, though, because I feel like plenty of disasters that have really happened have been dramatised.
Yeah.
So it can't just be the story itself that's
so
gripping.
It's not. I've said this to Becky because her brother was a set designer.
Yes.
And it is brilliant, and it really does take you to this place, whether it's the sort of homes of people and that sort of decor, or just the sites when it is a disaster zone. Basically, I just think everyone should watch it because it's very important. It exposes a lot of things that I didn't realise happened, and it is gripping but also horrifying, and the way that they do it is brilliant. It's genuinely one of the best things I've ever seen.
It's so moving, and it's very raw, and I think, like Heather said, it's super important for everyone to watch in a way, because it's something you just cannot even fathom that actually happened. And like you, there's so many things that I had no idea that were thing with Chernobyl, so it is, it's a really good way of watching something that happened in our history and breaking it down bite size.
Becky, other than that, have you been watching anything else?
So, I have been watching Riviera. I don't know if anyone here has seen the first season.
No.
That's a no.
Okay.
But I've just finished the second season, and again, it's on Now TV and Sky Atlantic, and it's got Julia Stiles in, who seems quite divisive. Like, a lot of people love or hate her.
Yeah, I don't like her.
She just reminds me of, like, years ago, what was she in, like, Ten Things I Hate About You?
Yeah,
that was one of my favourite films, Save the Last Dance, best film ever made, yeah.
But I have to say, it is a brilliant show. The second series wasn't as good, but in a nutshell, it is about a very, very wealthy family, and it's about what wealth brings to you as a family and the damage it can cause. Essentially, it's a drama about family, money, and power. And I think what's so appealing about it is very high fashion. Everything about it is, it's a bit like watching The Great Gatsby, you know, it's very shiny, all the dresses are incredible. It is a fashion statement of a show, but the plot is brilliant, and it's hard to not give anything away. But yeah, essentially, it's dangerous family, and it's what money can rip through and do to you.
So has this just come out?
The first season came out last year, and then the second season has just come out, and it's got Poppy Delevingne in, who brings a bit of punch to it, actually.
Adrian Lester is in it this season as well, isn't he? And he is the most amazing. I mean, he's a proper Shakespearean actor. He's incredible.
I think that's the thing. The cast is so strong, and you get really involved and wrapped up in their lives, and it's pretty addictive. But I would say watch the first series first, because I wasn't as hooked on the second, but it was still very glossy, very glam, and easy to get super hooked.
Escapism.
Definitely escapism. And it's just nice to have a nosy inside these amazing houses, and it's all based in, like, the French Riviera, and it's stunning. It's well worth a watch.
Well, on a similar note, I know I'm really behind the times, but I have just watched Big Little Lies.
The whole first series.
The whole first... Well, no, I haven't quite finished it, but I think I know what happens. Anyway, I have watched most of season one because I tried it when it first came out. I watched the first episode and I thought it was a load of rubbish. I thought it was really, like, magazine-y and a bit crappy and just really, like, subpar script and kind of cliche characters. And it just really didn't do it for me the first episode. But now Meryl Streep is going into it. I feel a bit like, well, it must be quite good if Meryl Streep's going into it. So I thought I'd give it another go, and I'm really pleased I did. It's really good. It is still a bit magazine-y, a bit trashy. It's not, like, quality viewing in the sense that there are a lot of kind of obvious TV conventions thrown in there, and there's a kind of device where you know something has happened and you don't know what it is, and they kind of intersperse all the action with police testimonies from witnesses, but, like, they're still doing that in episode 5, you know, so it gets a bit stale, but the acting is obviously brilliant. It's got a cast of Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, and Laura Dern, Zoe Kravitz, and Shailene Woodley. They're the 5 main characters, plus an amazing supporting cast, and it's fun. I love that kind of show when you're building to something and you don't know what it is, but you're waiting for that big thing to happen. And yeah, they've got fabulous houses, amazing wardrobes, but a really messed up lives as well. So I'm sure everybody's like, yeah, well, duh. But it is really worth a watch. And I'm really excited because this week, season 2 has launched in the UK with Meryl Streep. And so, yeah, I've got a whole extra season to binge now as well.
I can't wait. It's back tonight and I'm definitely going to be tuning in. I loved Shailene Woodley's character specifically. And I felt like you could really empathise with her, and more the fact that she's got this young kid, she's like a young mum and she's struggling. And I don't know, I found that whole story really relatable, and how their lives intertwine was just, like, fascinating.
Yeah, it's really worth a watch.
Yeah.
Laura, what have you been watching?
So I watched the first episode of the second series of Killing Eve last night.
Yes.
Heather, have you watched?
No, not yet. So I was watching something else, which I'll discuss another time, called When They See Us, which is on Netflix.
Yeah, okay.
Which is really good. Very serious again. So I do feel like I need something
I feel like I'm ahead of the times.
You are.
If you haven't watched it, I'm always late to the party.
Tell us.
It's good. I've only watched one episode. Firstly, what I love about it is each episode is only 40 minutes, so I feel like I can get through it quite quickly. But I was a bit worried because it's not Phoebe Waller-Bridge writing this time, is it? She's handed it over to her friend. But it picks off literally exactly where they left it, which I also quite like, because you're literally straight in. And it just continues. I mean, Villanelle is just such a weird character, isn't she? Because she's kind of this, like, awful assassin, but equally quite likable.
It's just root for her, don't you?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And it's also such a weird type of TV, because it's this awful dark thriller, but equally quite funny.
It's really funny, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying it. I feel like it's going to keep going. And I've heard the reviews are pretty good, and I've also heard they've just confirmed a third series.
Oh,
so
there we go.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so I'm going to get stuck in again tonight.
So you didn't notice too much Phoebe Waller-Bridge's
accent? No, not at all.
Okay,
no. It feels exactly the same.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's talk about makeup. Now, Becky wrote a piece on the 9 best new bronzers for every skin type and budget. Personally, I found bronzers really fascinating because I didn't even really know there was a liquid type of bronzer until...
Agreed! When you read that!
I only knew it a few weeks ago when Becky started talking about it on the podcast as well. And I was like, wait, what?
I feel like that's quite dramatic to have a liquid bronzer.
Yeah, can you explain?
Yeah, so do you know what, actually? When I wrote this piece, I was like, God, is this like, do people care about bronzers? But actually, both my best friends were like, I never use bronzer. Unless I have to. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing.
I've stopped using bronzer because I don't like that powdery look, but I don't really know what to do with a liquid one.
So basically, yeah, you can get liquids, you can get powders, you can get creams, you can get drops. I mean, check out the piece. But liquids, for me, I tried the Bare Minerals Bronze Serum, and you literally need, I mean, maybe 3 drops of it, and it just buffs into your skin.
So you don't put it into your moisturiser.
You can put it directly on.
And can you put it on top of foundation? I'm not prepared to forego my foundation, so can you put the liquid on top of it, and how does it work? Doesn't it just like smear it all around?
Yeah, you can put it on top of your foundation still. I mean, I'd let your foundation sink in first, but it's a liquid, but just because it's liquid doesn't mean that it's going to interfere with any of your other product. It's literally just like a little tint on your face. But the Bare Minerals one especially, I've applied that on top of my foundation before, or the beauty of it is you can apply it on its own. It literally makes you look like you've just been sat in the sun for, you know, 10 minutes. It's really even, it's really glowy, and it comes with a really cool brush that's just really dense bristles, so you get sort of even application.
And does it last?
That one really lasts. Okay. I'd say that will last you all day, definitely. And because it's a liquid, you'll have it for like years. It's crazy how good that is. It's honestly one of my faves. And then similarly, Drunk Elephant's Anti-Pollution Drop, so that you would mix in with your foundation or your moisturiser, just for like a bit more warm.
But that's still considered a bronzer, not a tan.
Still considered a bronzer, yeah. It's a new launch from them, so I think it was like a bronzer serum. That was
Could you put it in your sun cream?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, the whole point of their latest one from Drunk Elephant is you can mix it with anything. And actually, that's quite a nice way of just having something on your skin without going full on foundation. And then you don't need SPF foundation.
Okay, and if liquid isn't for you, then what else is out there that's
so liquid? If it's not for you, we've got obviously your go-to powder bronzers.
And the best are.
I mean, Guerlain is a real classic. Their terracotta bronzers are sell out every year. They smell incredible, and they are basically the equivalent of like a real collector's item among the bronzer community.
Not cheap?
Not cheap, but I have had mine for over 3 years now.
What?
It has lasted
three
me.
3 years?
How you have get you not smashed lot. That?
Yeah. Well, quite. I'm just careful, guys.
How much is it?
It's £49, okay. So it's an investment. But you do usually get like blusher shades in there, you get like a slight shimmery finish. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit of a one-hit wonder as a palette. And yeah, it smells of holidays. So there's that one. And then if you're after something a bit more affordable, well, NYX have got a California Beaming bronzer, and it's £10. And again, you can use that on your face, your body. It's big enough that you can cover quite a wide surface area, and it just gives you a really nice vacation glow.
Can I ask, what's your thoughts of shimmer versus a matte bronzer?
I prefer matte.
Yeah, because I don't like it when I look too, like...
too shimmery.
Yeah, but then matte, you can look a bit, like, 90s.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
So are you better to go matte and then highlight?
I think you're better to go matte day to day, and then, if you want highlight, highlight. But I think a bit of shimmer's nice for holidays, I have to say. I think if you're in the sun or if you're out, like, abroad, it's nice to have something just subtly catching the light. But I would never go for one that's baked with shimmer, because I think it's just not flattering.
It's not coming in the office.
And it just sits in like all your creases, I know, from around your eyes, around your nose, so it's just not. Go for something with really minimal shimmer, I would say.
And Laura, you were talking about the Chanel one before.
I mean, I've used this for an embarrassingly long time. I mean, I want to say like 10 years.
Yeah.
Do you know what the product name is?
It's Soleil Tan de Chanel.
Okay.
Do you like my French accent?
That is so French.
You can apply it with your fingers, can't you?
Yeah.
But I actually use a brush, and it's solid, but it's kind of a creamy gel, and it is just...
It melts into the skin, doesn't
it? It's so good. And also, this is probably not what it was designed for. But, you know, if you haven't fake tanned and you're feeling a bit gross and you've got sandals on, like, you can put a little bit on your foot.
Completely.
And you look like you've tanned your feet.
And you can use brushes with it. I actually quite like using a brush with it because you get even more coverage from it. You can really just buff it on.
And because you use that over your foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of these, I would say you can use over your foundation, definitely.
Do bronzers ever come in a variety of shades, or is it always...
Absolutely. In fact, there's several on here. So the Becca Blush and Glow Palette has got, I think there's four different shades, so you can really multitask with it. And again, Guerlain's has got different coloured hues, and the idea is you literally use a big buffer brush and you put it on and it catches the light differently with all different shades. And NARS's new Summer Lights Face Palette is £56, and as I've said here, it is an investment, but you can use it on your lids, cheeks, and to sculpt your whole face. So yeah, it's much more versatile now.
The other one that I was given, actually, and I was a bit like, oh, it's going to take me away, but I still really love it, is the Charlotte Tilbury Film Star, because that's the balance, because you've got your bronzer, which is quite matte, isn't it? But then you've got the highlighter in the same palette.
So you can pick and choose.
So you can pick and choose.
Exactly.
But okay, well, I feel like there's a wealth of information in that, but if you are looking for a new bronzer for the summer, then have a look at the piece on the site. Okay, we're going to talk about interiors. Now, Laura, time to step on up. We wrote a piece on faux floristry and botanicals and how fake flowers have made a bit of a comeback, really, haven't they? So we have broken down all the ways that you can make them work in your home. I never really thought this was like the kind of topic that would require tips, but actually having read the tips, they're all quite helpful, aren't they?
Because... Well, I think faux flowers have come on so far, haven't they? If you think back to your kind of, like, if I think back to my mum and those, all those years ago, they were just so faux.
They looked faux.
They looked so, because they were almost a bit perfect. Yes. Whereas I think the skill now with the people making them is that they make them look real by giving them imperfections.
Mm-hmm. It was the green stems, wasn't it? Like the giveaway green stems with the fake.
But leaves. I think that would always be my tip with faux flowers. So I think put them in an opaque vase, because you don't really want to see your wires.
Yes. It's like seeing backstage at a show, isn't
exactly.
it? Exactly. Yeah. So what else? Within this piece, we suggested mixing and matching a different variety, going bigger, which I was surprised about.
Again, though, I think that's a trend that's kind of changed. I would say about 5 years ago, it was all about just the single stem and just your hydrangeas or just your roses or just your eucalyptus, whereas I think it's kind of changing again and it's create big arrangements, use more colour, don't be so sort of stuck by one stem of flower.
Okay, so any other tips? We talked about cheating on fragrance and lighting a candle or diffuser behind the arrangement. That's quite sneaky, isn't it? What else? First of all, where do you start? Where do you go for good fake flowers?
So I would say ochre. They have such a broad range of them now, and I've got so many friends have got them and they look amazing. The other person that I've just discovered that started doing them is Philippa Craddock. I don't know if you know Philippa Craddock. I think Philippa Craddock did Meghan's flowers for her wedding, but she has just started doing them, and they are amazing, absolutely beautiful. There's also a brand called Sia, S-I-A, more difficult to get a hold of now in the UK, but I think they have their own website. But they, I actually have Sia, and they are amazing.
And do you have to spend to get good fake flowers?
I think you do, actually. I don't think, you know, everywhere does them now. You can even buy them in Sainsbury's and, you know, the supermarkets, but I think they are an investment. But if you think how much, you know, fresh flowers are per week, I think it's worth the investment. And if you're going to buy them, make them good ones.
One thing that we didn't say, I don't think here, but is that you should probably switch them up seasonally, shouldn't you, to make it more believable?
Yes, absolutely.
There's no point having peonies in November, because no one's going to think they're real, are they?
Yes, that is true. But then I also don't think you should be too embarrassed if you've got faux flowers. I think just go with it and kind of make a statement with it.
True. And do you think there's like a time and a place for them? Like, why fake flowers? Is it to save money? Is it to make a bigger statement than you otherwise would?
Or to give your room some colour. Mm-hmm. If your house is looking a bit
grey and white.
Grey and exactly. Then just add a pop of colour with some faux flowers. And I think, you know, in a kitchen or a sitting room or a hallway, you can go quite big. But equally, if you don't want to spend much, but you want to change something up in your bedroom, just put like a little stem and a bud vase on your bedside table. I think it looks so lovely.
My mum's actually got, she was getting in trouble for the flower bill. So she's now got on their kitchen island, she's got, a huge vase, like a metre high glass vase. And like, not bamboo, like they're green and they twist at the end. And they're really impactful. Like they do look really amazing. And I don't think they were cheap, but they're fake and they're social habits for a long time. Cheaper than her flower habit. exactly.
How long do they last for?
Well, forever, I would say. I think I read in here the tip was to just put your hair dryer over them every now and then to get rid of the dust.
That's what I was wondering.
That's a nice tip.
But presumably all cold, because
melt your flowers. Yeah.
But I mean, they last for as long as you take care of them. I guess you don't want to have them in bright sunlight all the time because they'll fade. As long as you look after them, I don't see why they should have a short lifespan.
Excellent. And in terms of display, I guess you just treat them like normal flowers. So we said here, don't be too gentle. Like, put together an arrangement that, you know, things that mix and match. And I guess that's the same as if you were just having a bunch of normal flowers.
Exactly. And also, if you start getting bored of them, put them in a different vase or divide them up and have them in three vases rather than one big vase.
I like that.
I'm intrigued. I'm quite good at looking after my plants because I know you can get fake plants as well. Mm. But I feel like in those spaces where it is really shady and you're like, oh, I can't pop anything, maybe I could put a fake one in and
absolutely.
I don't want to be none the wiser.
I feel like it's quite healthy to have like real plants in your house.
I've got a lot of those.
Yeah, I like a plant. You don't like a house plant, do you?
No.
Yeah.
No.
I quite like having the greenery in my home.
Same. But there are certain spots where they don't thrive. No. So yeah, I think I might get a fake one.
Good idea. Okay, let's continue on the interiors theme and talk about tablescaping. This is a hobby of mine. God, it's such a millennial phrase, isn't it, tablescaping? But it basically describes the art of, I mean, it's laying the table, really, isn't it?
Making your table look pretty.
Making the table look presentable and Instagrammable. So from event designers to, Instagram influencers and even chefs, everybody is tablescaping these days. So we wrote a piece on how to do it right. So is anyone else as obsessed with this as I am?
Me.
You are, yes.
I mean, I'd like to be. I can't say I've ever done an amazing session of tablescaping, but the tips are great.
Okay, Heather?
Yeah, kind of the same. I'm massively into it, but just don't have any of it because I have no space to have people around. I'm not just going to do it for me and my boyfriend. Like,
you should.
Pull out table.
Date night?
Yeah.
Last night, I did, well, tablescaping is generous, but we had scallops and a salad, and I could have just plonked them on the plate, but now I've got like our nice plates out. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's quite nice. Anyway, so Laura, in terms of tablescaping, where does one start? What is on trend? What should people be buying?
I think it's going to depend on the vibe of the evening, whether you're inside or outside, or how many people, you know, is it a big event? But I have a real obsession at the moment with linen tablecloths. Ooh. I mean, I can't get enough.
I met that with linen napkins.
Oh, it transforms the table so quickly.
So chic.
I mean, I'll take a white one. I've got a pale blue one. Pale pink one, and then that is such a good base with a pop of colour as well. I think that's such a good place to start.
The only thing is you then add work because you have to wash it.
True, but then maybe go just tablecloth and not linen napkins.
Yeah,
and then paper napkins, half your to-do list of washing.
True.
But places like H&M particularly do those, and Zara Home. Mm-hmm. So affordable and such an easy way to kind of update your dinner party look. Glassware. We love a bit of coloured glassware at the moment. A bit of pink glassware, I think, makes such a difference.
But also cut glass. I've started using like whiskey tumblers as water glasses just because it feels a bit more modern.
And also we have a real thing in our house that if you've got them, don't save them for kind of best. If you've got them, just use them, and if one smashes, then so be it.
Yeah,
it's better that it's used and not just sitting in a cupboard getting dusty. So yeah, use it, have fun with using whatever it is. And I also love a bit of mismatch. I don't think everything has to look kind of identical across the table. So many cheaper ways of doing it as well. Use some herbs, use some sprigs of flour, use some old little milk bottles if you want to put, you know, something and lay them out across the whole table. I like natural fibres, so some rattan mats.
There is a particular look, isn't there? You can't start doing this with, like, your wedding china, can you? It's very much a more kind of eclectic.
Yeah, I think have an eclectic
together.
But I would.
Thing.
I use my wedding china.
Do you?
So
how do you make that look more modern then?
With all those
with the
things.
Other bits.
And I think mismatching it makes it... Okay. Yeah, I don't think you want all your matching cut glass with all your china and everything looking too... Because that suddenly makes it quite formal.
Exactly.
Which isn't very now.
Yeah.
So I would just mismatch it a bit, and I think suddenly it does become a bit more modern.
Interesting.
I think the other thing you can do if you don't want to spend money, I always make my water look pretty. So if you've got a clear water jug, just chuck in some like lemons, limes and some mint and suddenly the table's got a little bit of colour.
And I know I'm Anthropologie's biggest cheerleader, but I've also got a big water tumbler from there as well, which is all decorated. So the minute you put that with slices of lemons on the table and a candle burning,
exactly.
You're done. Yeah, it's really an easy hack.
I'm a big fan of the statement kind of candle holders as well.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, even on my boring table, we've got these two. Similar to the ones actually in the piece, the oak ones, the big sort of lion leopardy type thing.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah.
Pop those in the middle, adds a
and
bit
I
of
think
something.
Have a range of heights as well mm-hmm. across the table. So have some big candle things, but have some lower vases mm. or have your really big jug and then some lower candles.
I got some gold candlesticks from H&M Home mm. actually last summer, and they are a variety of heights as well. And actually, I keep meaning to buy coloured candles to go in them because that
lovely.
Feels a bit, more, mm-hmm. bit more current this year. But
do you know where
so
does really good ones? Tiger.
Yes. Tiger?
Yeah,
they
Tiger.
Do.
And super, super cheap.
Yeah, because I was going to say Liberty have them and they're not that, they're like £12
no,
for a
get
box,
down to
but
Tiger.
That, wow, Tiger.
Good paper napkins in Tiger
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, actually, yes. I forget about Tiger. They have some great £1 one hit.
Yeah, they do. God, Tiger. Okay, that's a really good tip. Thank
yeah.
you. Okay, so if you do want to go for that mix and match crockery look, but you don't want to spend, you know, you don't want to start replacing a wedding china with a whole new set, where can you go? Sainsbury's is
for,
great
yeah,
for crockery.
Exactly. So Sainsbury's, I mean, all the usual ones we reference, but Sainsbury's, H&M, or just go simple and go white from IKEA mm-hmm. and then add a napkin
yes.
or a different placemat or a charger underneath it. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, you don't have to spend a fortune these days at all.
The other big trend is napkin rings as well. There's loads of napkin rings around. There's a lot of ceramics, aren't there? And also like rattan styles. The other thing is that you can use your food
absolutely.
As a way, particularly when people arrive. So I'm a big fan of a big load of radishes mm. on
yeah.
the plate, just as like a snack when people
yeah.
arrive. I always
with
remember
some homemade hummus.
Homemade hummus or mm. Alex Head from Social Pantry, actually, when she came in and told us about her Marmite butter recipe,
oh.
which
ooh,
I have
what?
Done. Oh my God, it's incredible. You literally just melt Marmite into butter. It solidifies a bit and dip a radish into it. It's so good.
Oh,
it's
hello. Hello.
So you do a big crudités platter with something like that. Really fun.
Yeah, oh colourful on
yeah.
a nice plate.
Exactly.
Delicious.
And actually somebody gave me a tip once as well to always do popcorn on people's arrival because A, it's quite visual and fun and like people can what you can be doing it in the pan when people get there. B, it smells really good. And C, it looks quite fancy even though it's actually the easiest thing ever. And you can
yeah.
just put like a bit of truffle
yeah.
oil on or something.
Ooh.
I know.
Well,
that's tablescaping. Tablescaping is thinking
yeah.
whatever you want
yeah.
it to be. Okay, well, if you do want some more tips, then do have a look at the piece on the site. We spoke to a variety of interiors experts, and we've got a list of some gorgeous products mm. in there as well, haven't we? Things that will really help enhance your home for summer.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Let's talk about shaving now. Shaving is the preferred hair removal method for 58% of women, but it can also cause irritation, itchy rashes, and lots of other gross things. So, Becky, you wrote a piece on 9 shaving hacks for getting it right. And I feel like this is something we all probably should know by now, but I don't know about you guys, but I'm always, like, cutting myself.
And... oh, my God. I'm always getting, like, bumps and that was why I was like, do you know what? I'm going to write a piece on shaving.
Right.
Because it's my preferred method, and without fail, I still get rashes. I mean, I know I've got very sensitive skin. But I do think there's quite simple tricks that can prevent it. And the lady I spoke to, Patricia Boland, actually said that so many people press really hard on their skin to get a close shave, and I'm 100% guilty of that. Basically, it's not true. Firm pressure can actually cause trauma, and then you cause irritation and bumps and redness. So
Have a sharper blade
and just go super lightly in motions. And my favourite tip that she gave is to close your pores. Apparently, that is the best way to get the closest shave possible. She says that you have a warm water or bath or shower and it opens your skin's pores, and then you quickly like splash cold water on first, then you shave, and that is the key to getting the hairs fully out. And she says, you know, it's quite a laborious process, but you will notice a difference.
So that prevents you getting rashes, or it just stops it growing back quicker?
It prevents you getting rashes, and it also stops moisture coming straight out, so you're not drying your skin out and getting like scaly shins. It's just allowing your skin time to breathe. A bit like on your face when you know people say go in the sauna, opens up your pores. So it's the same kind of thing. It makes the hairs easier to pull out. So I thought that was a good tip. It's something I've never heard of. And also, everyone's probably heard of this, but use your hair conditioner as shaving cream.
I love that tip.
Yeah, my grandma always told me to
use It's such an old wives' tale, but I've known that for so long.
I've always done it with, thanks to my grandma.
No one's ever told me. I've just done it out of laziness or just out of it, just because it works or because you've run out of shaving foam or whatever.
And if you have, I like to use a nice shower gel, but I use a cheaper shampoo and conditioner.
Well, she said that it's because conditioner is positively charged, which makes it attract to the hair and able to coat the strands for a smoother finish. I know, but it was actually a really interesting piece, especially as I think, like we said, 58% of women like to shave. But I think just a few easy tweaks will make sure you're getting the best result.
I never know if it's a thing to say anymore. Do you know what I mean? Do people so frown upon it?
Okay, no, when I was like a teenager, obviously you shaved. And then I feel like in the last, or kind of maybe 5-10 years ago, it became a bit taboo to shave, a bit dated. But I feel like now everybody's like, okay, let's just admit we all shave. Yeah. I would never shave my bikini line. No. Put it out there. No. Never, ever, ever. But legs and underarms.
Yeah, completely.
Need to. And actually, I know so many people, I don't know if anyone here has had laser.
No.
Most of my friends actually have at this point, but I'm just a little nervous about having half my body lasered.
I think I know quite a few people that have had laser, and A, it's ridiculously expensive.
It's really
expensive. And B, you have to do a lot of sessions, so you are buying into it. You're not just doing one and it goes. You have to keep it up properly. And also, it doesn't always work on everybody. So someone like you, Heather, it would probably work really well. You've got really dark hair.
Yeah, yeah. Pale skin, dark hair.
Oh, really? Yeah. I was going to say, I thought it'd be the opposite, because it's so dark that it would take ages to get rid.
It's more, I wonder how we would all fare. Basically, the fairer your hair, the less it's going to work.
Oh, I really didn't know that. Mm. That's surprising. Yeah, so I was always jealous growing up because everyone with like the fair hair didn't really need to shave their legs or anything because you couldn't really see them. Whereas I've always been dark and hairy.
I wish I'd never shaved my legs in the first place because I don't shave my thighs. Yeah. And there's like, you can't see the hair there at all. And I feel like had I just left my shins, then they also would never be hairy. Whereas now I've got like, now I have to.
No, it is true, I think, that when you start doing it, you have to keep going.
Yeah. Are there any tips for shaving and getting it right?
Not really, but this, well, the piece does it all for me, but this piece did bring back sort of horrible flashbacks of, you know, being at school and dry shaving quickly, just shaving on your way out, kind of like, oh, let's quickly do that. And yeah, I was reading that tip. I could actually kind of feel my legs kind of, how the sensation of what it used to feel
you
like.
You can so feel that, can't you? Like,
and it used
head.
To look bloody awful because you then try and moisturise, but then you'd obviously you get a rash.
Yeah.
Why did we do it? But yeah, the conditioner one for me was a kind of nice little confirmation that I'm not just being lazy. So yeah.
Becky, any other big takeaways from this?
I think also interesting to seek out products with chamomile because it's naturally anti-inflammatory, and that's something I probably would never have looked for. And she also says to look out for glycerin in your ingredients because it's a humectant and it draws water in your skin. So again, it's just another way of making sure you're constantly moisturised, because obviously the one thing with shaving and even waxing is it completely strips you of moisture. So I think it's really key to look out for those two ingredients.
I know I'm always really guilty of using a blunt blade, and then I get rid of my razor and get a new one. I'm like, oh, this is much better.
Yeah, it's so much easier. Like,
oh, my hair's gone.
I am exactly the same. Yeah. It's just such an annoying thing to buy.
And they're expensive.
Exactly.
I don't like those really cheapy disposable ones. It's bad for the environment as well.
Really bad for the environment.
Yeah, they're not. It's like 13 quid or something, isn't it? Or 8 quid. To get a pack. Any tips at all on how often you should be changing them?
So Patricia recommends that you change your razor blade every 5 to 7 shaves.
That's really frequent.
And another interesting thing was she says do not leave it in the shower because the blade rusts faster.
I read that and also was like, I do. I just have one of those
obvious things to say.
Yeah, I know. Why don't I do that?
But also, why do they then give you know, they I've got one of those sucker things that they come with, one of those little holder things that go on the side of the shower to hold it in place. So that's where it is.
Because they want you to buy more.
That's yeah. Okay, well, for further tips, do have a look at the piece on the site. Okay, this next one was not written by me, but definitely requested by me. How to write the perfect thank you letter. Turns out when you get married, you have a lot of these to write.
You have got a lot to come.
Yeah, I know, I'm scared. But also, I think it's good etiquette, isn't it, to know how to write a good thank you letter. And it can be quite difficult. The reason I found it difficult was because it's really easy if somebody buys you a toaster to say, oh, thank you for the lovely toaster. We can't wait to make our breakfast more exciting. Yeah, that kind of thing. But when someone gives you money or when someone gives you vouchers or if somebody can't come to the event, I don't know, it's all just, there are some minefields out there. So Pascal interviewed an etiquette expert from Debrett's all about how to get it right. So that included things like make sure you post it. An email does not suffice. Make it personal. That is what I have been trying to do that. Oh, thank you. Yes, the toast. I can't wait to pimp our toast out. And flattery will get you everywhere.
So
and,
obvious to do that though, isn't it? Just compliment. And then such an easy win, that one.
Yes, that was one that worked particularly well if you were thanking somebody for hosting them or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for being such a fabulous host. Laura, I feel like you're probably quite good at this. Do you often write thank you notes? Do you write them when it's not just for a gift?
It's always been drilled into me. So I do. I mean, going to a really good friend's house for supper, probably not. Mm. I would just send a WhatsApp or an email. But somebody that I don't know so well, I would always write and thank. And I would sort of expect the same vice versa. Mm-hmm. If one of my really, really great friends came for supper and she wrote me a thank you letter every single time, I think that was a bit strange. Mm-hmm. I'd also say save your postage money because we don't need to do that. But yes, any event, any present, supper is somebody I don't know so well, always, always write. There's nothing nicer.
Yeah, it's true.
There's actually nothing nicer. In the post. And also, stationery these days is so gorgeous that I kind of love it when I get a new variation of a papier card through the post. I'm like, oh, handsome.
Papier, I've got some new offerings.
That's so true.
It's so true. What about you guys?
Yeah, it was very much drilled into me as a child to write thank you cards and write them by hand. So yeah, every birthday and Christmas, even now, like my mum, as part of my present, gives me a set of thank you cards.
Love
which is
that.
Nice. But yeah, I send them to everybody apart from, yeah, close friends, because like they don't do the same back. So it's just, yeah, that kind of understanding that, you know, you can say thank you in other ways, but anybody else, yeah, sort of godparents, aunties, uncles, mum, dad, you know, grandparents, anyone like that. Yeah, I've always written cards and I always try and do them now. I remember being younger and just really put it off until sort of mid-January where you get an absolute rollicking down the phone from your parents for not sending them. But now I like to kind of write them almost straight away, and I think it's nice. You think about what you've had and say nice
I just
things.
Think if you don't do it straight away, it becomes quite a big deal. But if you do it straight away, then you don't overthink it, and it's done. Otherwise,
and do you always send to the host? So, for example, if you go to somebody's wedding and it's at their parents' house, for example, do you send it to the couple or do you send it to the parents?
I would send it to whoever invited me on the invitation.
Okay.
So if it's the parents invite you, then you would thank the parents. But if they invite you, you would.
That's a good point, actually. Because you'd almost feel like you'd have to do both.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do two.
So hang on, so if you go to somebody's wedding, you send them a thank you?
It depends. So I would do whoever's invited me on the invitation, who you would RSVP to.
Correct, okay.
And then I would do the same. But if I've been to a really good friend's wedding and it was, like, so special, then I would quite often write to thank the parents and then just send them a little note too.
Yeah.
That's really
interesting. There's nothing nicer than coming back from your honeymoon and having somebody go, oh my God, this was amazing at your wedding.
That's so true. That's friends, take note. Yes.
I went to a wedding of someone I didn't even really know that well. It was my boyfriend's best friend 2 weekends ago. And I just keep thinking about it because it's such a lovely day and I met all these really nice people and the whole event was lovely. And I kind of have had this feeling like I really want to kind of tell them that, but I don't know them that well. So I was like, is it weird to send them
a card? No, I don't think it's ever weird. Okay. I would be so grateful if I got that.
My boyfriend certainly won't be sending one.
Yes.
So
in terms of what you're putting in your thank you card, how short is too short? Like the format for my wedding ones, for example, have been like, dear so-and-so, thank you so much for the knives. We can't wait to become wizards in the kitchen. Can't wait to celebrate with you in York in a few weeks. All I love, Ben and Charlotte.
So I was always told that it should go onto the other side.
Oh, really?
But I have very small writing.
Oh, I've got massive
very
handwriting.
Small writing.
Well, maybe I need to make it bigger.
Yeah, I think I do. Okay, so what kind of thing, if you were, like the same example, if you were saying thanks for the knives, what else would you be saying?
Before the event?
Yeah.
Because that's a whole other thing as well. well, the etiquette of can you send before the event and can you send off?
Well, we started getting gifts when our invites went out, which is seven weeks ago. So we thought, we're not coming home from our wedding until over a week afterwards. I thought people are going to wait 3 months for a thank you. That's so rude. So we have sent the ones that we've received already out. Because obviously it's easy after an event, like, oh, this was so fabulous. The flowers were great and the band was lovely or whatever. But how do you...
talk about the run-up, how you're so looking forward to it, what you've done so far, so looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah. It's more just the thought, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's nothing worse than these generic ones.
Oh, yeah. Just
might as well not bother.
No, so true.
Time is of the essence was actually one of the points that we included in this piece. Pascal says, it's not something any of us enjoy sitting down doing, but your thank you cards need to be sent out as soon as possible. Works is after the event, but I think that means after the receipt of
I'd love to know actually what is correct with that.
Etiquette-wise,
yeah. Because I've received some things before where I felt it was a bit odd, but I think it is correct.
What, you mean to wait?
I would have waited, but I have received them before, and I think it's correct maybe to do it.
Well, my dad was just like, it's so rude if you let people wait for 12 weeks. Yeah, I think that was a thank you.
Is that normal with Jewish weddings to send presents in advance?
I just think it's people have bought stuff on the gift list.
Oh, I see.
So people pounce on the gift list so that they can make sure they get the things they want to get.
And then you get the notification.
And then I get a notification saying XYZ has bought...
So I didn't. I had the same, but I sent mine afterwards because we had cards made with a picture from the wedding.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay, we've had, like, personalised stationery made.
So that was the reason why I waited.
Got it. Okay, that's lovely. I like that. Oh, well, too late. Maybe the people who haven't given us a gift yet can have that. Okay, well, I feel like I've got quite a lot to learn. There's some pretty good tips in here, so do check it out. Let's move on to a bit of fashion, a bit of lifestyle. We're going to talk about the Lux List now, which is our monthly roundup of all the things we're coveting and the coolest things to do, and basically just the hottest new stuff out there right now. So, Heather, do you want to kick us off? What did you contribute to this month?
So, one of them, kind of leading on from what we were just talking about, is the new Matilda Goad Times Papier collection, which is just amazing. And I want to buy all the shell-related stationery.
She's been so clever, hasn't she?
Yeah, so really for those who don't know who she is, Matilda Goad is...
She's known for creating these scallop-shaped lampshades, and she's since produced some kind of rainbow tableware for matches.
And she's just kind of hit the zeitgeist, hasn't she, in terms of interiors trends and Instagram trends. Yeah. There's a lot of rainbow colours and scalloped edges.
It's very maximalist, but in a cool way.
Yeah. She's very cool, and I just think this collaboration is also really cool.
So I don't think I've actually seen it, so it's a stationery collection, presumably.
Yeah, and that's why when I was thinking, so I wrote this up, and then the day after, Charlotte had a papier delivery, and I was like, ooh!
I wonder.
Yeah, because she has done some, well, I think you could use it for anything, but a lot of it they were suggesting you could use as wedding stationery with lots of lovely scallop shells on, and it's all just very summery.
I was about to say it's very summery.
It's inspired by her kind of summer holidays, and I think she's even got little postcards and things as well.
And it's sort of ice cream colours, isn't it?
Pastel.
It's really gorgeous.
There's something quite vintage about her look, but it's still really current.
Exactly. Yeah, she's very clever.
Yeah, very clever. Okay, love that. Yeah,
if you are writing thank you letters, check that out.
I will, thank you.
And the other thing, which I think most people will be excited about, is the opening of a Socolo, which is...
Can I tell you, I didn't read that, I'm afraid, at the time. And then I looked at this piece this morning and I was like, they're opening another one. Yeah, I'm so excited.
So the gang, they're called the Big Mama Group, and they've got lots of restaurants in Paris and other places in France, but... Most people might know this from Instagram, but they opened their first London restaurant in February called Gloria Trattoria.
Oh, it's amazing.
In Shoreditch. Yeah, really good. What I would say is order all the starters, because that's the stuff they genuinely bring in from Italy. So like the burrata and the hams and the meats and the bread and the olive oil.
And you have to queue, right?
Yeah. So when I went, this is going back to Gloria, which is in Shoreditch, because the other one hasn't quite opened yet. I went on a Monday evening and there wasn't a queue. Okay. So I think go Monday, Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday, and get there for maybe 8 o'clock and you'll be all right. It was busy in there, like buzzy, but there weren't any queues.
It's a big space, right?
It's quite big. It's all like completely over the top in a great way. Like everything's very vintage. It's sort of meant to be modelled on the 1970s Capri.
I don't know why, but I feel like that really ties into the whole Matilda
They do have like lots of fringing and things, but it's just, it's very over the top. All the staff, or I think 95% of the staff are actually Italian as well, and they're recommending like, oh, have this because that's from Naples where I'm from, and you know, they're really into
that.
Exactly.
Lovely.
It's a lot of fun. It's a great place to go with the girls, and I'm going in a few weeks with some friends just because it's just a great space to have a really fun dinner, fun cocktails. But yeah, they're opening a second, much bigger space in Fitzrovia at the end of June called Zoccolo.
Okay.
And I haven't given much away, but there will be a massive outdoor terrace, apparently.
And meter-long pizzas, I've just read.
Yes, I think, yeah, again, good for groups. And they make their own limoncello as well, which is very delicious.
I've been to Big Mama, which is in like the Pig Eye area in Paris, and it's good. It's so good.
They're doing it right. It's fun. I mean, I don't know how long the restaurants will be around for, because they seem very current and fun. But so, you know, in London, people are always looking for something new, but I do feel like they'll stick around, those ones.
And good Italian. Can't really beat it.
Good Italian. And yeah, just fun. Like, it's so nice to go to a restaurant and have a right old laugh. Mm. Like, sometimes I think it can be either sort of grab and go or sort of a bit formal. So it was nice to go somewhere where, cool, have a bit of a giggle.
And finally, another drink, Fisher's Gin.
Yes, Fisher's Gin. It has already launched, this gin, and it combines old English herbs and botanicals found along the Suffolk coast, and that's where the distillery is. So, yeah, their head botanist has basically foraged around the Suffolk coast and found all these nice botanicals and added it to this gin called Fisher's Gin. And, yeah, it's really lovely. Got a real nice flavour to it. That's really delicious. Pretty bottles as well. So it's a nice small batch kind of company who are making it. But, yeah.
Good gift in that case.
Really good gift.
Cool. Anything you should be teaming it with in particular?
I just really liked it as in a martini, because you could really taste the sort of botanical flavours. So, yeah, a good thing to give to someone as a prezi, or if you're going to a drinks party or like a summer picnic and fancy a G&T with everyone, I reckon. Nice bottle.
Cool.
Go for it.
Gin. Becky, any beauty recommendations?
Yes. And also, I just have to say, the Lux list for June was, I literally wanted to do everything and buy everything. But for beauty, there is a new brand called Make, which has come over from New York. And you only have to look at it on Instagram. It is so, I mean, it's designed to be grammable, I'm pretty sure. It's kind of niche, like not many people have heard of it. And it's quite a streamlined collection of glossy balms, blushes, bronzers. It's very much your basics, but they're all paraben and cruelty free products, and they all have sort of oils, natural oils running through, so you get really nice even finish.
What's the price point like?
Price points, they start from £18 and then it can go up to like 50.
Okay.
But I think you're paying for good quality, and you're paying for no harsh chemicals, no nasty ingredients. Really nice brand, and it's really wearable, suits all, and they've got some impressive shades too. But yeah, it's the kind of brand you'll want to stockpile just because it is so nice to look at.
And where can you buy it?
You can buy it at Selfridges. I think that's mainly where it is, and I think it's going to be on Net-a-Porter too.
Good. Exciting. Well, we had some fashion recommendations in there this month as well. There's a new brand that's just launched called Refine, which is a slip dress brand, and I love a small brand who take one thing and then just do it really well. You know, there's enough big brands out there doing everything that it's quite nice to see somebody specialize in something, and that's what Refine does. They have like a really small capsule collection of really gorgeous satin slip dresses and camisoles, which are just really pretty, great for events. I'm wearing a slip dress for a wedding event this week, so yeah, do have a look at them, because they're also not stupidly expensive, so always nice to discover new brands, and also to know that you're wearing something that not everybody's going to be turning up in, which is always nice. And then also Open for Vintage is another one, which is a site a bit like a Vestiaire Collective, or you know, a lot of those resale sites where you can buy vintage handbags, jackets, etc., but there's no middleman. It's not a marketplace structure, so it's not a marketplace format, so you're not kind of negotiating or in that kind of eBay format that so many of those sites have. It's very much just like they have bought the stock, so you can buy the stock through them. So I mean,
this is a handbag, this is how much it costs,
and you buy it
all day.
Exactly.
And
great.
Check the quality.
I believe it's all gone through their quality control and verified. I mean, the downside is obviously you can't then haggle for things. A lot of those other sites, you can kind of make a bid or an offer. But yeah, the fact that you can just buy something directly through there. If there's something in particular that you've been after, then you can keep an eye on that, and you don't have to fight off a load of people at the best price as well for it, which I think is quite refreshing.
Yeah.
And can I just say, the H&M times love stories.
Yes.
I'm so excited, because for me, H&M do some of the best swimwear. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, they do really good swimwear.
I love getting swimwear. somewhere from there. So I was having a little look at this morning and it just looks so nice.
Yeah, so Love Stories Intimates is a gorgeous brand from Amsterdam and they do lingerie and swimwear and pyjamas. Like really, really pretty ruffles and bows and star prints, and they're not stupidly expensive, but they're more expensive than the high street. But yeah, they have done a collaboration with H&M, which launched this week, and that is much more affordable and, God, just so pretty.
So pretty, to the point where I'm literally like, I'm going to have to check as soon as it comes out.
I know.
Literally want
what
to snap up one of them.
Mid-June.
So I'll just be surfing the internet.
Yeah, you do a group purchase.
Yes, with your eyes peeled, exactly. All right, I think that's about all we've got time for this week. I will see you in a few weeks. In the meantime, please don't forget to send us any feedback that you may have to podcast@sheerlux.com. We really appreciate hearing from you. Also, please do rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, and I will see you next time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.